This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:36 a.m. It's Tuesday, November 27th. Han and Melissa here on the Morning Run. Time now to look at global markets, and U.S. stocks have rebounded, recovering from last week's sell-off. This appears to be their strongest session in 2 weeks. On the line now, we have Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist with the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management in New York. Good morning, Joe. Looking at U.S. equities, how they performed overnight. Question is this rebound transitory, or could we be seeing a positive end to 2018?
Might be a little bit of both. For the follow-through for this rally to have any legs, we still have to have a good summit outcome in the G20 between the United States and China. And we also have Jerome Powell speaking, Federal Reserve Chairman speaking on Wednesday. So there's anticipation that he'll be a little bit less hawkish. And there's anticipation that the United States and China will call a truce in the trade war. That's what's boosting the markets.
Oh, that's interesting. So I guess the G20 summit in Buenos Aires will be what investors will be focused on. Which meeting do you think will have a larger impact on commodity markets, Joe? The one between Donald Trump and Xi Jinping, or Vladimir Putin's meeting with the Saudi crown prince, Mohammed Salman?
I think it's going to be more about China and Trump. That's going to be key. That's been a huge disruptor. Putin, OPEC and Russia, I think there could be some oil production cuts coming. There's a lot of oil out there that needs to be sold. Inventories are backed up a little bit here. But I really think the world is holding their breath on avoiding a U.S.-China trade war. This is a great opportunity. There's an opportunity cost if nothing comes out of the G20.
Right. And speaking about oil, Brent is now back above $60 per barrel. We had Goldman saying that they expect a rebound in oil prices going into 2019. In fact, they expect a 17% return for commodities in the coming months. Yet on the other hand, Joe, we had JP Morgan cut its outlook for oil by $10 down to an average of $73 a barrel for 2019. So on this spectrum, Joe, where do you stand in terms of outlook for oil?
I mean, the outlook for oil, we're in that $55 to $65 range. We think, there's good demand. The global economy is still expanding by 3% plus. Supply, right now there's Iranian oil coming onto the market. Needs to be less, no sanctions against India and China. We've lost some output in Venezuela, but I think the supply-demand balance is coming, is improving for both producers and consumers. So I would say 55 to 65 in that range. That's kind of like the equilibrium.
Joe, here on this segment, we have spoken a lot about supply, right, with OPEC's positioning for the supply cut going into next year. And we know the sanctions that are being placed on Iran. But we haven't really talked much about the demand side of things. So in your view, where is that demand going to be coming from, moving into 2019? Is it still about China? Is that why you're focused on the trade war?
Yeah, I mean, it could be China. Of course, China, India, less so. I mean, they're burning a lot of coal there. But you're really in the developed markets or the Middle East itself. The Middle East itself is a huge consumer of energy, oil in particular. But I think it's going to be, if the United States economy can continue to chug along at 3% plus into 2019, I don't think you're going to end that at that rate. I think there's enough demand-supply balance that we kind of find an equilibrium. As I said, 55, 65. So the demand is going to come from the developed and developing markets, not just China.
So do you think we could get some kind of indication on that front when we get that second estimate on U.S. third quarter GDP? That's due on Wednesday, 9:30 p.m. Malaysian time. So do you think the story there will be that it's supportive and there's enough demand for oil and just the broader economic activity?
Well, I think it's going to be important for the market to see the U.S. continue to expand at 3% annualized rate. When it comes to the revisions, we'll be watching very carefully CapEx spending, because that's been weakened here. But if we have a good number, a solid number out of the United States, that puts a bid underneath oil prices because, we are, after China, the largest consumer of petroleum. We're consuming a lot of what we're producing. So let's not forget that the United States is a big demand-side factor in the global markets, oil markets, just like China.
And, after that GDP print, you mentioned Jerome Powell, from the Fed, is scheduled to speak. We also have the FOMC meetings, minutes for the November meeting. Now, my question is, how data-dependent do you think the current Federal Reserve is under Jerome Powell, Joe?
I think even more, I think, very data-dependent now because you're seeing weakness in housing, autos, The markets don't believe that the Fed has to go four times next year. The Fed does. So every data point is going to be a deciding factor for the markets or against the markets. So that's going to be hugely important. We get the employment numbers. And remember, I think the Fed is also keeping a close eye on global growth. So we get the PMI numbers out of China later this week as well. So I think they're going to be very data dependent. I think December's rate hike is baked into the cake.
Mm-hmm.
But from there forward, that's going to be hugely dependent on the data points we get between now and the end of the year, and of course into January.
All right. So if you know the Fed is going to be more data dependent moving forward, and given the murkier outlook for the Fed's normalizing path in 2019, do you think that extra communication that Jay Powell has undertaken, because moving forward after every FOMC meeting, he's going to have a press conference, right? Is that helpful to you as a global investor?
Yeah, I mean, I think in general, yes. But, you know, be careful what you wish for. He may say something or, you know, might upset the markets. I mean, Ben Bernanke said, you know, monetary policy is 98% communication, 2% moving interest rate. So I hope Jay brings his game. I'm sure he will. But you know, sometimes on Wall Street, we can overanalyze things. And hopefully we don't go down that route with, like, you know, a monthly press conference from the Fed. So we'll see. But at the same time, it's a great opportunity for Chairman Powell to clearly, you know, delineate what he's thinking and not necessarily soothe the markets, but just give them an idea of where we're going.
Right, and BlackRock has data showing that global stocks and bonds could both finish 2018 in negative territory for the first time in at least 25 years. Joe, if that happens, then how would that set up your investment strategies for next year?
I mean, how we close the year won't have a big effect on our outlook for next year. Our outlook for next year is more, you know, equity returns, 5-6%, shorter durations on the fixed income markets. We want some cash in the portfolios more than we had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to start to buy the emerging markets because they're very cheap in terms of valuations, perhaps even parts of Japan and in Europe. So, you know, how we end the year, it really doesn't matter to us. I mean, it'll be the catalyst. I think we end the year on a high note. We eke out some gains for 2018 here in the United States, nothing overseas, and then we begin again. We need a trade truce with the United States and China, and we need the Fed to indicate that they're going to be less aggressive raising rates in the 2019, and then you've got a nice liftoff for the markets going into the early part of 2019.
Well, Joe, we certainly look forward to our next chat next week and post that G20 summit. Thank you so much for your time this morning. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist with the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management in New York. All right, coming up after this, we're going to take a look at how Genting is resorting to suing Disney and 21st Century Fox. See what I did there?
Nice.
All right. Now, why is Genting suing Disney and 21st Century Fox? We'll tell you after this right here on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.